Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which can be seen and heard every Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter / X feed, that being at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. If you're interested in finding more information that I might be able to provide to you, then check out my Substack, that being the Gardner Goldsmith Substack, and you'll find that every Sunday we provide what's called the Sunday News Assembly. The News Assembly contains at least 20 stories pertaining to Liberty, plus contextual information that will help draw out of those breaking stories longer-term intellectual ammunition to help defend and expand the purview of freedom. Thanks so much for listening. All right, my friends, what's on tap first? Well, you saw a little preview there about TikTok, but let's get into the liar. And for that, we turn to our theme. No, it's not the Rollins Band. It's the Damned from one of the greatest albums ever made, Machine Gun Etiquette, Liar. Yes, indeed. That photo taken and their first trip to the United States, and on the back of the at the back of the street there, you'll see Village of the Damned and Dawn of the Dead. Perfectly appropriate for the Damned in the foreground. Ah, yes, my friends. But is truth dead? Is honesty in politics dead? Is there no more nobility in the great and honest traditions of the United States that have been awesome ever since, of course, Alexander Hamilton helped usurp the Articles of Confederation? It was so great, wasn't it? It's always been awesome in the United States. It's always been great. Well, let's go back to Joe Biden's State of the Union address, my friends, because Joe Biden had a few things to say about Snickers and a few other things to say about American traditions. So we're going to turn to his statement about Snickers because, of course, it's a great way for him to excuse higher prices based on the incredible expansion of the money supply, of the fiat forced on us money supply to fund all of the government welfareism, whether it's the military-industrial complex or it's the state politicians or it's government trying to fund EVs or government trying to fund particular, airport projects or whatever it might be. They've got to make sure they've got their welfare friends in their pockets. And so once they inflate the money supply and our buying power goes down, they've got to blame the higher prices on something. So why not blame the people who are competing with each other to try to give us candy bars? Here it is, Joe Biden doing it up.
Too many corporations raise prices to pad their profits, charging more and more for less and less. That's why it's cracking down on corporations engaged in price gouging and deceptive pricing.
Now, I know that you know he has 100% that power, don't you? He's got that power. Not only does he have the moral power to prevent people from offering things to us, and we can deny it if we don't want them. Strangely, we can't deny the government. Isn't that odd? It's so strange how we can say we don't want to buy a Snickers bar or we don't want to buy a Hershey's bar. How sweet that is, right? And yet we can't say no to Joe Biden's corporatist offer, because, of course, they're in the monopoly that claims the legal power to use aggressive violence and threats of it against us to make us behave and comply. That's awesome. So he's going to protect us. How about price gouging from these guys? Oh, we'll talk about the speaker coming up in a little bit and the deals that he made, because he's just awesome.
Food to health care to housing. In fact, the snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag, put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. It's called shrinkflation. Pass Bobby Casey's bill and stop this.
So they give him a standing O, Bobby Casey, they give him a standing ovation when that bill clearly is utterly, patently unconstitutional. Everybody's applauding the guy. Does that give you a sense, the way it gives me a sense, of the forces that are arrayed against even the very concept of free markets, the very idea of being truthful about why prices go up and how they're driven down through free market competition? I think we've got a lot of work ahead of us, everybody. Let's continue to try to tell our friends about the way markets work and the way government undercuts competitive markets all the time. And freedom, of course. Ah, what a guy. He's awesome.
You probably all saw that commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it.
What a guy. He's just great, isn't he? You get about 10% fewer Snickers. Everybody's snickering. They're snickering. I'm not a big fan of Snickers bars. Like, if I'm starving, I guess I'll have one, you know? I was never a fan of, like, peanuts and chocolate mix, but now I actually will dig it. It's okay. But, gee whiz. In the meantime, look at the little scowl on this guy, as if this guy is somehow a paragon, a paladin, you might say, for free market competition. Really? We'll talk about that in a little while. All the things the government gets to do under him, that, of course, will undercut free market competition and bring higher prices to all of us because the government is out of control. Here's the latest from the New York Post as reissued by Microsoft. This one from Shannon Thaler. Snickers is fighting back. Here we go. Snickers denies Biden's State of the Union accusation that it has reduced candy bar sizes in shrinkflation. President Biden blasted Snickers as an example of shrinkflation during his State of the Union address. We can skip over this pretty much, just a newsflash thing, but let's get to this. Of course, he says fewer chips in it. He called them tater chips or something like that. And then we have this. Mars, which manufactures the iconic chocolate, caramel, and peanut candy bar, debunked the president's statement. Says the company, we have not reduced the size of Snickers singles or share size in the U.S., the company said in a statement to CNN per a screenshot shared to X. Like many industries, we continue to face high inflation and spikes in material costs. However, we work to absorb these extra costs whenever possible to provide affordable treats and the best value, the candy giant added. Final prices are always at the discretion of the retailer, but we make every effort to minimize costs to provide a full range of delicious products, Mars said. Scott Jennings, the CNN contributor who shared the statement, captioned the post, "As I suspected, the president is literally slandering a candy bar." And he wrote, "We'll literally slander anything and anyone. Total hack," Jennings added of the commander-in-chief. Well, that's for sure. And we're going to offer you a video segment from his State of the Union address to see if you count the number of times that he slandered people, misled people, and lied in an added extra super awesome epilogue to our coverage last week of the State of the Union address that we got to do on David's show and on this show Friday, David Knight Show, of course, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., the David Knight Show. Great guy, great family, awesome people. Got some nice texts from David this weekend. And so let's consider a couple other things, though, because oftentimes when we're looking at this sort of thing, I think the tendency would be to go to the immediate and very valuable commentary about the growth of the money supply, the price increases that are a result of the increased bidding due to all of those increased units of money that bid up the prices. Absolutely right. But we can't, or at least it's incumbent on me talking to you and hopefully getting the feedback from you. Hopefully you agree that there are myriad other impositions that the government places. I sort of foreshadowed this before we got into the actual Snickers notation here. But there are so many other things. We've got corporate taxes. We've got taxes on fuel. We have restrictions on fuel. All the different things that they require for shipping, whether it be paper or plastic, all those different types of things, all those are affected by government. Then we've got tariffs against foreign sugar. How much does that increase the cost of the candy bar? Will anybody discuss these things except economics professors, people at the Mises Institute, Pete St. Ange? Are these the only places, Angry Tiger, are these the only places where we're going to get this information? Right? Do the pop media people ever decide they'd like to open a book sometime, a virtual book, in a theoretical sense, and actually look at all the pages that have come before this, the preceding chapters that led to all these price expansions? Because, as I said, in a marketplace where the government doesn't touch these things, all these attendant things that feed into the higher prices, where the government is not involved in these things, all things being equal, competitors in the market try to cater to what we want. Do we want Snickers bars for more or for less? Well, clearly, Joe Biden at least has the instinct to realize people generally want to get more for their efforts, not less for their efforts, even though he represents the factor in our lives that always is the biggest burden against us getting more for less effort and making us work harder to get less. They are responsible for this. If they would leave us and the sellers alone, prices would go down. But they won't. They won't. And then they've got the gall to introduce statutes, like you just saw everyone applauding a statute to investigate why the prices are going up. They can look at each other and they might have the answer, but they don't want to face reality, do they? No, instead they want to make up stories, right? Well, here are some more made up stories from Joe Biden. 2 minutes in, approximately 15 seconds of Joe Biden talking about the wonderful House of Democracy in Washington, D.C., where, of course, you have to pay for it, but you can't go walking in there when you want to, because that's called trespassing. They'll say it's a riot, or they'll even use the term insurrection when there was no insurrection. Let's watch as this guy has the continued gall, after he lays blame on higher prices on the people who are working to try to give us more for less. This guy's got the gall to say things like this and rack up these things. Put your comments inside Rockfin, Rumble, or on X on areas where you see him being misleading, using terms that don't apply, or actually almost making you laugh because what he's saying is so absurdly actually about the government. Or, of course, is propagandistic to try to play up the government and make them look good. So is the blame appropriate? Is he lying? And is he using appropriate terminology? Let's do that. Check this out. Here we go.
Just like History Watch 3 years ago on January 6th, when insurrection stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy.
Okay, I'm going to pause it there. Insurrectionists stormed the Capitol and placed a dagger at the throat of American democracy. I know he was probably on some sort of amphetamine, so it came out of him very fast, but that's what he said. It's just amazing. the throat of America, a dagger at the throat of American democracy. So evidently it's direct democracy and the Electoral College means nothing. And these people are not representatives. They're actually you. And of course, there's that canard of representation in the first place. It's direct democracy, right? Sure. Then who's he talking to in that building? Well, aren't you all seated there? It must be direct democracy. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not. That's right. It's an utter lie. And then he's got the idea of insurrection. No one was charged with insurrection, right? Let's see what other little tidbits we can come up with. Because, of course, this is the home of freedom.
Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lie.
How do you know it's the will of the people, right? How do you know? How do you know it's the will of the people? It's the will of some people. And then, of course, there were some questions about the vote. But it's not the people as if it's all uniform. It's not the will. That's Rousseauian. That's the general will. That's why when I teach classes, I try to tell students, I was like, imagine Rousseau literally told people that whatever gets expressed through the government assembly house is the general will and it is infallible. We're seeing the same pernicious mindset 150 years later, 200 years later, almost. Unbelievably stupid, ridiculous. Here we go.
Lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. America stood strong and democracy prevailed. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here.
So remember, everybody, make sure you defend that threat to democracy, okay? Whatever that means. You can figure that one out. We'll get together. We'll talk about it. What do you think that one means?
Seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that.
So this is the guy who just called all those people insurrectionists. They held them without trial for 2 years in many cases, gave them charges that were utterly ridiculous. And he's like, he says, oh, we're not going to let them misshape the truth about this. Really? Honestly, and you just called them twice insurrectionists. I'm sorry. It's like a prosecuting attorney, but you're on the stand there, buddy. And we have some memories. So sorry, we're employing our brain cells.
This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies.
You know, like anybody got charged with insurrection.
Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win. Done ever since being elected to office, I ask all of you without regard to party to join together and defend democracy. Remember your oath of office is defending us all threats, foreign and domestic.
Because you swear an oath to defend democracy against all threats. Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Constitution is not a document that defends democracy. All right. Before I finish up, I got to turn to you all and see what you're thinking. Oh, man, this is great. I'm seeing Brian Taylor. I think we need to bring back tar and feathering. Oh, yes. Jason Barker says, notice they all stand up and clap when Kamala does. I won't use the term you use, but yes. And it's not super bad, everybody. But yeah, they were briefed to do that. Yep. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We're going down a little further here. And sit the F down, scumbag, says Harry Hart. Oh, man, am I with you? Yeah. Brian Taylor, what about defending natural rights? Oh, Brian. Brian. I don't know. What? Brian, clearly you are oppositional. Aren't you in favor of democracy? What is wrong with you? I just don't get it. We've got City Boy Blues. All of this SOTU addresses have not... All of his SOTU addresses have not mirrored his inaugural address, a total 180. Biden says, we must end this uncivil war. Biden calls for unity in inaugural address. Biden asked for harmony while speaking to the immense challenges of the moment on 1/20/21. All of his State of the Union addresses have not mirrored his inaugural address, a total 180. Yeah, because you know the rhetoric is completely meaningless. It's totally emotion of the moment. So yes, let's get a little more of the emotion of the moment and clear out.
Respect free and fair elections. Restore trust in our institutions, and make clear political violence has absolutely no place in America. Zero place.
Yeah, you got to just make sure that you continue paying your taxes, because if you don't, you're going to not feel any political violence. Meanwhile, you better pay those taxes so they can continue to send weapons for political violence all around the world. Awesome. Yeah, that's just great, isn't it? Talking about political violence, everybody, let's get into one of our first major stories. It's a quick war update, everyone. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, everybody. We got some big news to give to you, so let's get right to it. And first, we're going to turn to antiwar.com. Awesome. A couple big stories at antiwar.com that I want to mention to you. Biden says he'll never stop sending arms for Israel's so-called self-defense. Aren't they just glorious, these gaslighters? As famine looms and the death toll ratchets up, the White House remains steadfast in its unconditional support for Israel. And Kyle Anzalone wrote this yesterday, published it yesterday. President Joe Biden said he would not set any red lines for U.S. weapons shipments to Israel. You know, completely constitutional, because it's all about the Constitution. He mentioned that. You got to defend. Oh, no, he said defend democracy. That's right. Interesting, isn't it? In an interview with MSNBC's Jonathan Capehart, Biden refused to place restrictions on what Tel Aviv would have to do before he stopped shipping weapons to Israel. We'll return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. The cleanup is continuing Friday as severe weather took a toll on a number of states with reports of tornadoes in Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. 10 Americans were rescued from an operation led by Florida Republican Congressman Corey Mills after the U.S. sent troops to evacuate non-essential personnel from the embassy in Haiti on Sunday. Congressman Mills expresses frustration with the State Department and his commitment to being there for the American people on Fox Business.
If they're unwilling to do their jobs, then people like myself will step up and do it for them. The private citizens who represent the greatness of America will step up and do it for them.
According to newly released federal government data, President Joe Biden only deported 0.25% of Venezuelan illegal immigrants encountered by ICE officials in the last fiscal year. A new report out says people will spend over $2 billion this Easter. This is USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. In a somewhat convoluted statement, the president first said there would be red lines on Israel attacking Gaza, but went on to say there is no action that will lead the U.S. to cut off weapons. Biden went on to say there would be consequences if 30,000 more Palestinians died, but didn't explain what crossing that line would be. So I guess 29,000 is okay. As long as you're paying for it, why not? There you go. And you're done. Yeah, as Marty Chang would say. So given that, Let's talk a little bit about Iran. No, let's talk a little bit about Hamas. No, yes, let's talk about the people who have supported Hamas. Oh, you think I'm talking Iran, right? No, we're not talking Iran. Of course, we've mentioned this before, that Benjamin Netanyahu got involved with supporting, you know what, Hamas, as the United States did, specifically for the reason that we've mentioned, that he knew they would be oppositional, would not negotiate, and he didn't want to negotiate with the Palestinian Authority. He wanted to be able to continue encroaching into the lands of the people that they've been encroaching on since the 1940s and continue killing people and holding them hostage, hundreds of them a year, even 13 and 14 year olds and women, without charges. But remember now, those aren't hostages. I don't know what they are. Maybe it's sort of like pretending American government is a democracy, but they must have some other term. And maybe they'll find it in the bottom of a cereal box or something like that. Or maybe it'll come, if you get enough Snickers, you'll get a golden bar or something like that. But here is a little bit of information that I want to provide for you. Right here, this is Chris Van Hollen of Maryland on February 28th. He's a Democrat. And this is the, as you can see, Senate Foreign Relations Committee holding a hearing on so-called Iran's proxy network in the Middle East. And good for this man from Maryland to actually bring up the truth. And as you can see there, Code Pink was protesting the violence and the bloodshed rained down upon the Palestinian civilians. So this is inspired by the folks at Grand Theft World. I hope you got to see them last night. And you can find the Forbes Breaking News YouTube channel. They're very good. I saw part of this last night as Richard and Tony, for their, what, seven-hour show, went through some of this information. So let's give this to you just so that we have it on record. The words are read. It's on this show. And if you want to refer people to this to actually show them, hey, did you know that Benjamin Netanyahu literally did support Hamas for the reasons that we've mentioned numerous times here so that he could use that as a pretext to invade and attack them? Well, here we go. And this was on the Senate floor at the end of February.
It's also true that these proxies have different origin stories and have different relationships with Tehran. One of them is Hamas, the terror group responsible for the horrific October 7th massacre in Israel. Now, Iran, of course, did not create Hamas, nor does it exercise command and control over Hamas, but they do provide support to Hamas, primarily because of Hamas's despicable goal of destroying Israel and the overall goal of Iran of weakening U.S. influence in the region. I'm one who believes that we should have been doing more all along to weaken Hamas. We've talked about Iran today. We have not discussed the inconvenient truth of the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu himself saw it in his interest to keep Hamas in control in Gaza. Don't take my word for it. He told us this back in 2019 at a Likud meeting party meeting where he said, and I quote, anyone who wants to prevent the creation of a Palestinian state needs to support strengthening Hamas. This is part of our strategy to divide the Palestinians between those in Gaza and those in Judea and Samaria, end quote. Netanyahu. After all, so long as Hamas was in control in Gaza, how could anybody ask Israel to accept a Palestinian state that included Gaza and the West Bank? Good question. So Prime Minister Netanyahu and his extreme right-wing partners have embarked on a concerted strategy to weaken the Palestinian Authority, which recognizes Israel's right to exist, and to strengthen Hamas, which doesn't. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record a piece that appeared in Haaretz in October of last year, a brief history of the Netanyahu-Hamas alliance.
Without objection, be included in the record.
We also have heard a lot of talk since October 7th about Qatari funds going to Hamas.
And just to mention, everybody, don't forget that the Hamas leadership is living in Qatar. And I haven't seen the major politicians in the White House or anybody like that asking for them to be extradited for their connections to the terrible crimes that they keep telling us Israel is now allowed to fight by exterminating the civilian population in Gaza. You know, just figured I'd bring that up to you just in case. We'll continue.
Ms. Maloney, isn't it true that those funds flowed with the concurrence of Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel?
Yes, that's true.
That is true. So when I hear all my colleagues talk about this Qatari money, please recognize that this was done with the consent and encouragement of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record an article, a CNN article, Qatar sent millions to Gaza for years, dash, with Israel's backing.
Without objection, be included in the record.
Very
and
good.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to enter into the record a New York Times article from December of last year entitled Buying Quiet, Inside the Israeli Plan That Propped Up Hamas. Headline, Prime Minister Netanyahu gambled that a strong Hamas, but not too strong, would keep the peace and reduce pressure for a Palestinian state.
Without objection, be included in the record.
And Ms. Maloney, have you also seen the reports about how Prime Minister Netanyahu was informed about various sources of Hamas's monies kept overseas, including some in Turkey, and decided to ignore those warnings?
I've seen those reports.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to enter into a the record, a New York Times piece, again from December of last year, headline, Israel found that Hamas money machine years ago. Nobody turned it off.
Without objection.
And I want just to quote from Mr. Levy, who was the Mossad chief in charge of economic policy, who says, and I quote, I can tell you for sure that I talked to him, referring to Prime Minister Netanyahu, about this, unquote. Quote, but he didn't care that much about it. The article goes on to point out that Mr. Netanyahu's Mossad chief shut down Mr. Levy's team, the task force Harpoon, that focused on disrupting the money flowing to groups, including Hamas. So, Mr. Chairman, as we watch what's happening in Gaza in the aftermath of the terrible Hamas attacks of October 7th, and we try to bring that conflict to an end, and President Biden talks about the importance about providing some light at the end of this very dark tunnel by creating a two-state solution to provide security for Israel, including normalization, ultimately, from Saudi Arabia and Arab states, but also a state for Palestinians to live in dignity of their own. Let us remember that lengths that Prime Minister Netanyahu has gone to try to prevent that from happening, including, as all of these articles in fact attest, including going to lengths of strengthening Hamas to try to, in turn, weaken the Palestinian Authority and prevent those negotiations from going forward. It's well documented. He always opposed the Oslo Accords. He's always been opposed to a two-state solution. His coalition right now, and it's in their founding documents, want the entire West Bank effectively annexed by Israel. So we need to go into this with clear eyes as to all the factors that are at play here.
All right. And there's a lot more coming as well, everybody. So we'll give you that information in just a little bit about Israel. But I want to go back to, in fact, this is really more about Israel. Back to antiwar.com. Here we go. Netanyahu will ignore Biden's so-called red line, which is a non-existent red line, and move forward to attack Rafah. The Israeli leader responded to President Joe Biden's remarks that he was harming Israel, claiming his war is popular, instead of what Biden said, well, maybe it's unpopular. I see. So that's really the effect of it. It's just whether it's popular or unpopular, not the fact that you're slaughtering women and children and innocent men in many cases. You don't even know who the suspects are. And of course, he said the fighting would continue for up to 6 weeks. Benjamin Netanyahu, otherwise known as Benjamin War Criminal Netanyahu, hit back at President Joe Biden after the American leader criticized the onslaught in Gaza, which wasn't really much of a criticism. And in 5 months, Israel has killed at least 31,000 Palestinians, about two-thirds women and children, and destroyed most of the infrastructure in the Strip. In the process, Israeli forces have displaced most of Gaza's population of 2.3 million people and triggered a humanitarian catastrophe that is nearing outright famine. Well, for more information on that, let's turn to, if we can, let me get the opportunity to do so. Where are they? Here we go. Want to turn to the good folks of the Jimmy Dore Show. Check it out, y'all.
About how many Palestinians, women and children, or maybe we do have it, have been killed by Israel since October 7th, Connor asked. Well, is this it?
About how many? Yes, this is. And what we're talking about here, folks, is Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, you know, when he's not busy working for Raytheon, he's busy helping Raytheon make a lot of money by killing innocent people all around the world, including Ukraine and Gaza and Russia and all over the place, and helping build. There's new word that The United States is going to be setting up new bases over in the Philippines, which is just going to be phenomenal stuff. It's going to be great, and obviously not saber-rattling at all against China in any way whatsoever, and will provide lots of money. And, you know, who am I to say where you ought to invest, you know? Lloyd Austin, he had to get that special waiver so he could leave Raytheon to come back more quickly to the government, even though there's actually a prohibition in the government that says you can't do that. They let him do it. I know. It's like, what? I thought there were, no, what are you talking about, rules? They're in power. They can do whatever the heck they want. Come on. P-O-W-E-R over R-U-L-E-S. And who writes the rules? The people in the P-O-W-E-R. We'll check that out again in just a little bit. Here's a little more of Lloyd Austin actually admitting a few things in Washington.
Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since...
Here it is. It's right here. What the fuck?
About how many Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since October 7th?
It's over 25,000.
Mr. Secretary, last week, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights...
Wow, that's... He just says it. Watch this.
About how many Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since October 7th?
It's over 25,000.
Well, Mr. Secretary, Putin's a monster, huh?
Yes, last week, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights warned that any transfer of weapon or ammunition to Israel violates international law. About how many precision-guided munitions has the United States given Israel since the beginning of the war?
I don't have that number at my fingertips, but we have endeavored...
Mr. Secretary, it's about 21,000 precision-guided munitions to Israel since the start of the war. Secretary Austin, last week you spoke to Defense Minister Gallant, and you said, clearly, there needs to be a plan to ensure the safety and support of those sheltering in Rafah before any military operations proceed. National Security Advisor Sullivan has said he has not seen any plan yet. John Kirby said it would be a disaster to invade Rafah. If Netanyahu defies the United States and invades Rafah, will you commit today that you will halt any future military sit?
And just to mention, everybody, want to bring this up again. What he's saying there could be taken in the wrong way. That's a ground invasion. They're already bombing Rafah to smithereens. Okay. They've been bombing it for 3 weeks. Thousands of people have been killed there. Okay. So they're talking about a ground invasion there. So it's sort of a false distinction. Okay. Because it gives the impression that they're hands off Rafah right now and that they're not militarily engaging with civilians. You know, in other words, killing them. When you call it engagement. But I just wanted to bring up that distinction. Although Rokana is very, very good here, making some very good points. He sort of, I think, fudges that a little bit. And I wanted to make sure that I brought that up here in our area so that, you know, we're not allowing for that, misleading information or lack of information to go out there.
Sales to Israel?
No.
Obviously, sir, that's a presidential decision. But, you know, we expect that, and by the way, I spoke to Minister Gallant.
Let's go back here real quick. So he says it's a presidential decision. This is the Secretary of Defense. No care about the U.S. Constitution in any way whatsoever. It's a presidential decision about this, about stopping or funding more or sending more armaments and things like that. And as we saw last week, Antiwar reported there were 100 instances of the United States government funneling weapons to Ukraine without congressional permission. Unbelievable. Let's continue.
No. You know, we expect that, and by the way, I spoke to Minister Gallant last night, and I expect that when we provide munitions to allies and partners, that they'll use them in a responsible way. So.
But would you make a commitment that they defy what we're saying and they violate international law, by the way, which is opposed to National Security Memorandum 18 and National Security Memorandum 20, that if they don't do what we're saying, that we would halt those arm sales or transfers?
Again, decision to halt the provision of security assistance would not be mine. It would be...
What would you recommend?
Well, I certainly, again, I really do expect that that they utilize the weapons that we provide them in a responsible way. And then if they
for time purposes, it seems to me if they're defying what you're telling him, what Kirby's telling him, what Sullivan's telling him, that wouldn't be responsible. Cindy McCain, the head of the World Food Program, has said that the Palestinian children are starving. Extremist settler Stormrich, Israel's finance minister, stopped American flour, which our taxpayers paid for, to get into Gaza. If Israel again ever stops American-paid aid from getting into Gaza, will you commit to not sending future arms sales?
And by the way, folks, I had that wrong. It was 100 unannounced weapons transfers to Israel, not Ukraine. Of course, you could probably assume they're doing it to to Ukraine as well. But there you go. And Rokana is really pressing Lloyd Austin. Now, none of this should be necessary, because even if it was all done on the up and up and people knew about it, it wouldn't be constitutional. They are rabidly, rampantly circumventing any constitutional promises that they have in any way whatsoever. They have utter disrespect for you. They do not care for you. They have absolute contempt for you. It's incredible. And at least Rokana's throwing a bone out there. You know, he's not all the way towards the Constitution, but at least he's bringing up the fact that on a practical moral level, as far as the deaths and so on, if they're going to come up with some sort of standard, could they tell us about this standard? No, they have no standard. They're just going to keep doing it.
Again, that's not my decision.
How about you resign, you perfidious, unbelievably scant-moraled person? Will you please resign? Do something for future generations to recognize that at least once in your political career, you showed a little backbone and had some integrity to say, oh, I swore an oath to the Constitution. Oh, there are innocent people getting killed. I can't do this anymore. I've got to get out of here. How about that? Don't draw a pension off my back. Don't draw a pension off my neighbor's back. Don't tell Anarchy Andrew to pay your salary. You and your fastidious little look. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. So sharp. All paid for with our money, while the people in Gaza starve, wear rags, smothered in blood and dust. Isn't it great? What a contrast. An absolutely stark contrast. And by the way, folks, a little more about antiwar.com, because of all things, you might have heard that the Pope had recommended that the United States, that Ukraine negotiate with Russia. I know, it's crazy. Because the Pope has in the past been very much in favor of aggression against you for, you know, having a fireplace or using a natural gas stove or wanting to draw an internal combustion engine. But in this case, he's actually saying, hey, maybe you might want to shut those engines of war off. Yep, Pope Francis, he spoke up, and guess what? He's getting backlash simply for asking people to negotiate for peace. Yep. The Catholic leader, and you can put Catholic in quotes there, has quotation marks, put an asterisk next to that, has repeatedly offered to mediate peace talks to end the war. Connor Freeman wrote this: Pope Francis is facing backlash from Kyiv for his remarks suggesting Ukraine should go to the negotiating table to work out a diplomatic settlement with Russia. And comments made during an interview conducted last month with RSI, the Swiss broadcaster, the Catholic leader once again offered to act as a mediator between the two warring sides. The Ukrainian government has criticized the Pope and reaffirmed their refusal to negotiate with the Kremlin. Well, isn't that just great? They were ready to negotiate 2 years ago, but I don't know what happened. It was almost like they got a visit from, a guy, Boris the Spider, as the Who might say. Boom, 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 boom. Creepy, crawly, creepy, creepy, crawly, crawly. Yes, interviewer Lorenzo Busella put it to the Pope like this. In Ukraine, some call for the courage to surrender of the white flag, but others say this would legitimize the stronger party. What do you think? The Catholic leader responded, It is one interpretation that is true. I think that the strongest one is the one that looks at the situation, thinks about the people, and has the courage of the white flag and negotiates. When you see that that you are defeated, that things are not going well, it is necessary to have the courage to negotiate. Well, Popey, come on, Pope man, what are you talking about? Oh, you just, please, come on. And of course, finally, let's round off the Israel-Gaza stuff. In fact, Israel-Ukraine stuff with this final bit. Biden's peer for Gaza is a hollow gesture, as George Galloway mentioned, and it will accomplish nothing, Jonathan Cook wrote. A few observations on President Biden's building of a temporary pier, or what officials are grandly calling a port, to get aid into Gaza. One, though no one is mentioning it, Biden is actually violating Israel's 17-year blockade of Gaza with his plan. Oh, you didn't hear about that, huh? Remember we talked about the water and so on? That was part of their blockade. Gaza doesn't have a seaport or an airport because Israel, its occupier, has long banned it from having either. Israel barred anything getting into Gaza that didn't come through the land crossings it controls. Israel stopped international aid flotillas, often violently, from reaching Gaza to bring in medicine. The blockade also created a captive market for Israel's own poor quality goods, like damaged fruit and vegetables, and allowed Israel to skim off money at the land crossings that should have gone to the Palestinians in fees and duties. It will take many weeks for the U.S. to build this pier offshore and get it up and running. In fact, George Galloway mentioned it could take up to a month. Why the delay? Because every Western capital, including the United States, has supported the blockade for the past 17 years. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday on Rockfin, Rumble, and Twitter starting 6 p.m. Eastern Time, live.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.